Welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I am your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi, guys.
And our baby, Alex Vasella.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. You guys?
Right. This week we listened to Hairspray, the 2002 musical sensation.
Truly sensation.
Yeah. I'm actually excited to chit-chat about it. But Alex, has baby met any world since we saw you last?
Baby has met some world. First of all, after much nose to the grindstone, I finally cracked the villain song for my musical.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I had been racking my brain how to do it. I knew I wanted it to be kind of built out of chunks of reprises from the prologue song, because those are kind of the themes that are coming to a head. And so I did it. I was fidgeting around with what instruments to use them on and all that sorts of stuff. And then I just, something clicked and I wrote it all skeletally in like a day, and then have been fine tuning it ever since. And I think it might be one of the best things I've ever written.
It's really good. You sent it to me and it's quite good. I got to give you credit. Don't take this the wrong way. Considering you don't really know really anything about writing a musical, you're writing a pretty competent musical.
Thank you. I sent it to Jay, as I always do, when I'm very proud of something, yet low-key terrified it's actually garbage. So.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would tell you.
Yeah, and I would want you to.
It's not even in a mean way. It's like, look, he's learning how to do it. It's like, if I don't like something, it's not helpful to me to be like, you know what, I think this is pretty good. Yeah. If it's not. Like,
if anyone ever needs notes on anything, Jay Schmidt is a wonderful person to have in your corner.
Yeah, I'm kind of terrified of when we finally get to like the table read process of just working out the script, of like not drilling it into whoever's listening's heads enough that like, if it's not funny, don't tell us it's funny, because we will look a fool when crunch time appears. If it's not good, tell me.
Well, that's one thing I learned in performing school. Like, it's when my mother like would hang out with me and my friend Brian. She'd be like, you guys are so critical of each other, but like, you're also like, so, but like, you guys both accept it so well. And we're like, no, it's not, we're not being critical. It's just like, we have spent 4 years at a place where everyone is telling us how to do things better. And so we just got used to,
well,
like, hey, like, here's how I think, like, here, this isn't working. Here's how it probably can work.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just like, I don't take notes personally. If it's someone I know. The worst thing, Alex, I think you can attest, is like when someone gives you notes on a joke and you've never talked to them or met them ever, they give you a tag and it's like, I don't know you. It's like, you don't know me or my style. Like, why are you talking to me right now?
Yeah. On top of that, it's like, hey, this person isn't good. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, I never, ever would be snotty to somebody if I don't like their comedy, because that's not a moral failing. But if they're like trying to inflict their style on me and their style's not good, like, hey, boundaries, dude. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I very good notes on food when I bake.
Yeah. I don't have to give many because you're a good baker, but
yeah. But it was something I think your mom mentioned it to me too, that like you'd eat something and be like, well, they're not your best, but it was a good effort. And people are like, just tell her they're delicious.
I'm like, no, but I was like, but
that's not what I want.
But I know she wants to get better at baking.
Yeah.
So like, I know it's a valuable, be like, hey, these are amazing. Here's how I think they could be better next time. She goes, oh yeah, you're right.
Much more exciting conversation.
Like, did I just watch a husband tell his wife that her baking wasn't her best and he's still alive?
I'm just imagining now like a Rocky-esque, you're the grizzled trainer. And she's just like this power montage of like baking cookies and icing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, fluffier. And she's like, ugh! Like punching meat for some reason.
Yeah. I view marriage as
flour bags.
Yes.
Yeah. We are here to make each other the best versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not always glamorous. We don't always not fight about it, but.
But usually we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could get better at taking notes sometimes.
Okay. But so I kind of, if I had to elevator pitch this song that I wrote, I would call it It's Sad, Be Prepared from The Lion King.
Okay.
Because I
don't know that Be Prepared is happy.
No, it's more, it's devious, but there's a cheer to it in its own way. But this is like depressed, be prepared. Because like, I've realized that when I explain a lot of the songs I've written to people, it's often sad, a different theater song. Like when I was writing the first kind of you meet every chunk of the family of Mel Gibson's character, the note Miles gave me of what to shoot for lyrically was sad, turn it off from Book of Mormon, because it's about a guy struggling with his anger problem. And then I wrote sad, be prepared. And then I wrote sad, stay alive, which was that that Nirvana-esque song of Heath Ledger's character.
Oh, stay alive from Hamilton.
Yes, I do mean that.
Oh, that's already sad as well.
It is, but not in quite the way I make it sad. theirs is like a, and I actually watched a really good video series on this. They said that there's a musical interval used in Stay Alive that is the James Bond interval. It's not in the same pattern, but it's that same, to remind you that this is kind of like a cool mission, even though it's got a sadness tinge to it. So yeah, I write sad other songs. Second Baby Meets World, as I've been doing way too much lately, I was reading a book on fascism. I need to stop because it's ruining my brain for Christmas.
Awesome.
And I was listening to it was an audiobook, and there was a chunk where this person was interviewing far-right militia people who are like scary. And she ended up talking to one of them and actually not fully de-radicalizing him, but like showing him that there's a world outside of this to prove that some of these guys actually can be reached and kind of talked out of this stuff. Yeah. And it's not very often, but that it is possible. And she's like, I talked to this guy, and he was a crazy 3%er, which is a right-wing militia, and he was this tall, grizzled-looking guy. Now, in my mind, I cast him as a Broadway actor. Would you like to guess what Broadway actor I cast as this very tall, scary, borderline Nazi?
Scary. Borderline Nazi.
Patrick Page.
No, but that was close.
Michael Cerveris.
No, but that would be excellent too. But you're getting pretty close. Do you want to give one more guess, or should I just tell you?
Audra McDonald.
Christopher Sieber.
Oh, okay.
I think he could take a dark turn and he'd nail it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Farquaad.
Yeah.
He could. I imagine it kind of like, I'm like, oh, he's played a villain, but it was a silly fun villain. Now he play a not fun villain.
Yeah.
And if Kevin James can take a Nazi heel turn, I think Christopher Sieber can.
Kevin James?
Yeah. That movie that just came out, he plays the bad guy, and he's very scary, actually.
Yeah, I think Uncut Gems has basically made people go, yeah, let's get comedic actors and just make them upsetting. And I'm here for it. I think Russell Brand should get an Uncut Gems.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And finally, our listener, Linda, thank you, because this makes me very, very happy, made up a Broadway baby drinking game.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to list some of the rules. Listeners, if you want to add rules to this, that would also make me happy. But here are the rules so far to the Broadway baby drinking game. Okay. Drink every time Kimberly mentions a past outfit. Drink every time Jay cries. Yeah. Jay cries. Alex brings up James McAvoy. Alex and Jay explain a pre-1997 pop culture item to Kimberly, but give up. And finally, Alex tries to explain a philosophical idea and gives up.
Yeah.
That made me very happy.
Oh, thanks, Linda. That's very helpful. Please drink safely.
Yes.
Did you just write that down?
Yeah. That was fun. I like this.
Yeah, you should. I hope this gets longer and we can play it if we ever listen to an old episode or something. That'd be fun.
Ooh. I was going to say something, but no one sees that. I'm going to say, drink every time Jay shoos his wife away from him.
I don't. You just really want to hold my hand while we're recording on Zoom, and I just don't want to be holding someone's hand. I appreciate that you love me, but it's also, I know it's just to steal warmth from me, and I don't.
It's really, really cold.
So she's a heat vampire?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and that is all the world so far.
Amazing. I don't think we have met any world.
No, we have been at work.
We've been at work and making our house Christmas.
Yeah.
That's been mostly it. I was about to say the prom, but you've already heard us talk about that.
Yeah. That was a big deal. Well, yeah, we already made content on it. So prom, yeah. The prom. Go back and listen to that. Yeah.
Hear more of us.
Bah.
So we can go into word of the week.
Word of the week.
Person of the week. Speaking of adept musical theater writing.
Person of the week. An adept writer of musical theater of the week.
Harvey Fierstein.
Harvey Fierstein.
Of the week.
God, we're done now. Everyone go home. We're already home. That's the joke. Harvey.
Drink.
Who I think, I'm trying to think of my first recollection of him.
Oh, I know my Doubtfire.
It would be Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes, correct? Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah.
I didn't know until I started to do this show that Harvey Fierstein wasn't just a comedic that guy. And he's great as those. He's fun. He's always fun when you see him in a movie. I didn't know he had I didn't know he was a writer at all. And I had vaguely heard that he did theater, but I didn't know that he had written the books to big shows.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I didn't know that either. I mean, I knew I liked him as an actor, but I just for some reason, and I'd seen some of the shows that he has worked on, but I just did not know that he had transitioned to being a pretty big player in modern Broadway.
Yeah. I think he was always kind of a big player because his first play, Torch Song, or Torch Song Trilogy, I guess as it used to be called, was his big hit, and that was in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess I just never really saw him as a writer.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really either. I remember when they announced he was writing the Kinky Boots book.
Uh-huh.
And I was just that's an interesting pull, but I guess he's been in musicals. And then I looked up, I was oh no, he's allowed to do this by all means.
It's just low-key not fair because he has such a unique and interesting stage persona and is also a very talented writer. Normally you get one of those two things.
Yeah. It's like when I found out Ryan Gosling is hilarious.
Yeah, it's really upsetting.
I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. just as a fun fact of his stage presence, he was in Torch Song that he wrote, and then he was in a play called Safe Sex, and then nothing till Hairspray.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because they went to Hollywood.
Because he went to Hollywood. But he also wrote the book to Lacage. Oh, full.
I didn't know you wrote the book to Lacage.
Huh. Yeah. And
is fascinating because I picture him in that show.
Was he in the movie The Birdcage? Because that's just a remake of Lacage.
I don't know if he was in Birdcage. I also don't think he's credited as any sort of filmmaker.
Okay.
Writer? Film writer? Screenwriter?
Yes.
For Birdcage. Yeah, no, I don't think he was involved at all.
Okay. Doesn't it feel like a movie he should have been in?
Yes.
Yes.
Because he wrote the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
for the musical it's based on in 1983. And he won a Tony.
Yeah.
And I think that it happened before we were born. And so when he started doing it again in the early 2000s, us people knowing him from Mrs. Doubtfire were like, that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, our generation of kids, he was just the guy who has a really fun voice that I like it when he's in things because he gets to talk. And that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. So he wrote the book for Lacage in 83, and then he did the book for Legs Diamond.
Oh, that is a notorious flop.
Peter Allen, notorious flop. I think there's a book written about how bad it flopped. And then... not again until 2007 when he wrote the book for A Catered Affair, which I did not see, so I can't really speak to that at all. Let's see, a Drama Desk nomination. Then he wrote Newsies. So Catered Affair, into Newsies, into Kinky Boots. And then two more plays, Casa Valentina, and most recently, did he not write Bella Bella? I thought he did. Oh, he did. Bella Bella, which was out in 2019, which was a one person show about Bella Abzug, in which he plays Bella Abzug.
Oh.
The notorious feminist.
Okay.
Not notorious, just.
Didn't know who that was.
I didn't really either, so I didn't see the show. And now, having watched all of Mrs. America on Hulu and reading up on my feminist history, I am mad I missed that show.
Yeah, I bet.
I heard it was great. Let's see, what else did he do? My parents always talk about the fact that he replaced Alan, or what's Dr. Octopus's name?
Alfred Molina.
He replaced him in the Fiddler on the Roof revival.
He was apparently great.
With Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay.
The two of them together. Which my parents always are just like, what a weird, like, that's the stunt casting my parents won't shut up about, is when Harvey Firestein and Rosie O'Donnell were Tevye and Golda. And I was like, that makes sense. They're theater people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why anyone was mad about that. Two people who love Broadway and have done and are Broadway caliber actors got to do a show. Is great with me. Anyway, my first introduction was that.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Harvey Firestein and, like, looking through it today, I think, like, his strongest ability as... So, he is really, really strong at taking a property that already exists as a movie or something to that effect and turning it into a two-act musical.
I wonder if it's because he has spent so much time in both Hollywood and Broadway.
Yeah. Oh. So he can, like, smell an act break in a story that is three acts.
Or which... just, like, knowing how much story or how much to put in order to make it. Because, like, the thing is, it's, like, it's almost as if, like, a screenplay and, like, the book of a musical, they're, like, one's in metric and one's in standard. You know
absolutely
what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
They're just not the same width.
There's an exchange rate.
Yeah. It's like when you take your like, you have to have, like, the weird little, like, plug so you can plug in your American things, like, in London.
An adapter.
An adapter.
Because he adapts screenplays.
Oh! That's really good.
You look said it. You didn't know the word adapter.
I didn't know the word, but that's funny. I like that. Hey, give me some five. That was funny.
You're
I like that.
Welcome.
Because, Newsies... like, he expanded certain aspects of the storyline and, like, gave a lot of the other characters, like, just enough to
and
do.
And he invented Catherine Plummer.
He invented, yeah, yeah. That. So it wasn't just a bunch of dudes on stage. Thank God for that. Like, we need a pretty girl singing a pretty song at some point. You know, it's just, that's show business, baby.
And then pretty boys doing jumps.
Yeah. Pretty boys doing jumps.
And he gave her a lot of the best lines in that show.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and so it fits the show, like, feels fuller in a way, but he doesn't, like, and also Kinky Boots, and they were like, oh, we're doing a Kinky Boots musical. I was like, what?
Why? Did you see that movie before?
A million years ago.
I love that movie.
Great flick, but, like, how was that supposed to work as a musical? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have a crazy entrance for all of the drag queens.
Yeah, totally.
It was great. And he, like, gives characters, like, heart and depth and, like, more to do, which I love. And then when Torch Song, what was the Torch Song trilogy, because it was three short plays that were oftentimes done together, is now just called Torch Song. And that was on Broadway last year with Michael Urie. I always want to call him Brendan Urie, but that was Kinky Boots.
That was Kinky Boots.
Yeah. With Michael Urie, and it was fantastic and kind of, I don't know, you could, like, see him in it in such a wonderful way, but it also, I don't know, it was nice to see, like, what his writing evolved out of, because it is just, like, really specific characters having very specific conversations, but also everyone in the room can somehow relate to them.
Yeah,
it was great. I was about to say highly recommend, and then I realized that show closed a year ago, and you can't see anything at all right now, and I got sad all over again.
Yeah, sorry.
Was there film of it at all, or anything?
You know, I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm sure it was filmed for the library, but I don't think the library is open.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if the library is open.
I also think it's, like, the biggest miscarriage of justice that Firestein was not in the movie version of the show that we are doing today. In that, like...
Yeah.
Travolta actually is pretty good. Yeah. Like, Travolta's, like, he's not phoning it in. He's really trying to do it. So I gotta give the man props. But, like...
He was right there.
Like, Firestein as Edna is, like... maybe one of the most iconic Broadway performances, like, of our generation of theater, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you just can't...
Yeah. I think that they did the live TV version of Hairspray just so that it could be preserved because he was did it on the live show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're like, let's just let Harvey do it.
Yeah. Like, and not
someone should make a supercut of like his scenes from that and the movie from 2007 because that was better than the live show.
Yeah.
And just mix them.
Okay. That put movie's really good.
The movie's good.
The movie's great.
I watched it yesterday. I had a great time.
Like, I think, like, Travolta just not being the right person for the job is, like, the only note I have for that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only because we know the better person for the job.
Yeah, he still nailed it. And
yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But
so, Harvey Firestein, I love the fact that he is this underrated gem of many facets of theater that, like, I can kind of now dig through just from knowing him from that guy in movies to showing up and like, oh, he's got all these different things and I can dig into him and he's got different skills. I will say if any of our listeners enjoy his singing voice, I don't want to hear one word about Bob Dylan because his singing voice is his speaking voice and he's fun to watch, but on the album, ouch, like a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy it like as a young girl when it came out. I was just like, why did they let this man with this crazy voice do this?
I think it's because you watch it on stage and it's electric.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's worth it.
You know when you're 12.
I think that's, and someone who's that engaging, I think it's worth it. Also because the character's supposed to be kind of an oddball. But like, I was not prepared for just how raspy those songs are delivered.
Yeah, well, there was no choice. They cast yeah,
him. Yeah. But that being said, I want to try. He was in the live one, you said? I would absolutely watch him. Because I can only imagine he was really fun to watch. I'm just like, oh, him playing Tevye kind of breaks my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to my parents about it.
Yeah, so lesson learned from Word of the Week, Harvey Firestein. Actually, like one of the better book writers on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worth the hype. Worth the job.
Yeah, that's even kind of driving that point home to me right now. I was like, oh yeah, I do like his, I do like pretty much everything he does.
Like, yeah.
Like anything, any of those shows, the issue wasn't the book, really. Huh, okay, cool.
All yeah, right.
That was fun.
Well, Jay learned something today.
Yeah.
Word of the week.
Word of the week.
Oh, God.
Tracy.
No. Hurt yourself.
Was his voice always that raspy, or was he like a heavy smoker or something? I guess, I'm like, if he's born with that, I'm impressed. I don't know if it was something. Has he been doing something to his voice as often people that like sound like that?
I have no idea.
Look, everyone smoked in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
I think he always had kind of a deep voice. Michael Urie even in Torch Song put on a bit of a voice.
Oh.
And yet it seemed natural.
Huh.
Just took a little to get used to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Hairspray.
Hairspray. That's not the tune. I just got excited.
You just wanted to sing it and then you realize that that's the musical, so they do actually sing that word.
Yeah, well, it's like what I do on previews sometimes when I get excited, I just like sing a word and that's usually the tune I sing it in, but then I realize they do sing Hairspray.
Hairspray.
Yeah. So the title is just meant to be like a shot at Grease, right? Like it's saying like this is the story that Grease kind of avoided. Is that because I think that's the point of the movie, the original movie, is it's like a joke about how like, hey,
neither of us have ever thought
Alex,
of that.
I've never thought of that.
They say, well, they in the original movie trailer, they say like Hairspray, Grease, something, something. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's a parody, but also a deeper dig into that time period in a way that Grease kind of whitewashes.
Huh.
Otherwise, Hairspray has nothing to do with the plot other than that she has big hair.
That just rewrote a large swath of my brain.
Wow.
Good, Alex. I didn't even consider that.
Me either.
Yeah.
Huh.
We're going to need to take a minute.
Your brains are buffering right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about our personal histories with Hairspray that we now know has a bigger meaning to the title. Jay Bird?
I mean, I don't really have a lot of history with this show other than I just really, like, It was always fun, like, in Dance for the Musical stage when, like, we would be doing 50 stuff. They put on Hairspray music, and I was like, cool, we're listening to it today. And I was like, I just want a pony. I just want a pony. Like, it's so fun.
Pony was almost the word of the week. But I didn't know how to demonstrate.
This is an audio medium, babe.
I know. That's why I didn't do it.
We can't show dance moves. Man, I really wish you had posited that to the group. I would have shot that down. Just oof.
Unless we just briefly hijacked previewed and made it Broadway baby.
Like, Jay will demonstrate ponies. Then I quickly realized, what did work?
Yeah, I have no history other than, like, I've seen all the things and I like it.
Did you see it on Broadway?
No, I didn't get to.
Have you ever seen it on stage or just the movies?
I've seen a couple of regional productions, but nothing. Nothing on Broadway, which makes me sad because I would have loved to have seen. I just wasn't in New York for when John Panette was doing Edna, and I would have loved to have seen that.
Who's John Panette?
That's good.
He was a stand-up comedian. I quote him often. He has the sono affamato joke.
Oh yeah.
And he goes to Italy and he's like, sono affamato. It's like, ah, I'm gonna feed you. Like, yeah, that's real good. He was a little bit heavier set, very funny. He passed away like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
but
I say nay nay
nay nay. That's so good.
Yeah,
he has so many fat jokes, but I just like,
yeah, but they're all good.
They're so good. He's awesome.
And that's great casting.
Yeah, I bet you his was like totally weird.
That feels like a role that you could stunt cast and turn up lucky more than you would turn up unlucky.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The songs aren't that hard for the voice. All you need is someone who nails the book.
You just
John Travolta.
Yeah.
I disagree.
John Travolta is a good singer. And I wish he did more musical.
John Travolta.
But now with the lens of it's a Grease reference.
Okay.
It was still
getting up and walking around the
And you notice that I'm not wearing pants, Alex. I'm not.
Yeah. Alex, what's your personal history with this show?
The first I ever heard of it was when the 2007 movie came out, and I did not see it, but I remember seeing a trailer for it and it coming up in conversation with one of my friends, and I was like, that little girl is so adorable. And I didn't talk like that in high school, but she just brought it out of me. She was so adorable, and she still is. Nikki Blonsky is spectacular in that role. And then it was always just a thing I knew existed. I didn't know what any of the plot was. I didn't know that it had to do with integration until I listened to the album like this week. I knew they did it live over the summer, I want to say, this year. And I knew, I didn't know. I assumed it was a much older show than 2002.
Because of the movie.
Because of the movie. Yeah, so a lot of times when I read, if I read about a show that is based on a movie, and I read about when the, and I like glance at the movie, I'll often forget that's not when the musical came out.
Yeah.
So like, I thought Newsies the musical came out in 1993, which it didn't, it was the movie. Yeah. And so what I love the fact that Hairspray is the story of Hairspray, obviously, but it's also kind of a backdoor into just John Waters, the musical. And I think that that's like, it nails his tone really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's one of those filmmakers that I've only ever seen one of his movies. It was Crybaby, but I loved it so much. I'm like, I will love this guy once I get to his work. So this was kind of a nice like reminder that I should dig deeper into his filmography because I like what was synthesized out of it. And the fact that he plays the Flasher in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I could also listen to Crybaby one day.
Ugh.
I haven't listened to it really ever.
The Crybaby movie is apparently all different songs than the musical, and the musical apparently wasn't successful. The movie is quite good.
I love the movie.
I love that movie.
High school.
The
musical flopped.
I saw Crybaby like way too early.
Oh no.
And I just was like,
was it bad? I'm trying to like remember what the hype around it
was. I just remember
so
being like, I don't know if I like this, but I think one day I might like this. Mm. You know, when you're at that age and you're like, I don't get this really, but I think it's fun, but I don't really totally understand. Yeah. That was Crybaby. I was like, that lady's face is very upsetting.
The jokes are just great in that movie.
Yeah.
John Waters can write a joke, and I love it.
But yeah, Cry Baby the musical fell into the trap, the producer's trap, when a show is a huge, huge success that they go to another work from the same like movie creator, and like Young Frankenstein, not that great of a show. And, like Cry Baby, it's like, well, Hairspray worked. Cry Baby, it's like, nah, yeah. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tried.
They tried. Broadway's a little bit more flash in the pan than some people realize sometimes.
True.
It's true. I love Hairspray. I saw it on Broadway with Ashley Parker Angel of O-Town. if that just really tells you what era this musical was running during.
Yeah, wow.
What, like 2006? Loved it. Loved the movie. Huge Amanda Bynes fan. My audition choreography, I think at two different schools I auditioned for, was You Can't Stop the Beat.
Yeah.
Emerson, like, and Hart School, maybe.
Because it just makes you want to move.
You can't stop the beat.
The thing I will bring up about the show, it's almost a little low, but I'll just say it preemptively. I am not a person that is moved to dance very often. I'm a bodily, very stoic person. Hairspray makes me want to move. Like many things can't.
Great term.
I was literally, all I can think is bodily stoic right now. It's like, oh, who are you hanging out with today? Oh, Alex. It's like, oh, which one's he? Oh, he's the one that's very bodily stoic. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I know him. Okay.
My brain does all the flailing, so my body doesn't.
Yeah. He's the one that writes the really sad version of musical songs. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And very bodily stoic. Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, this show, this whole show, just every song just makes you want to just move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And that's, you know, a lot of the show is about, they just want to dance.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally about dancing and repression and oppression. And it's kind of I love the fact that they use the white people dancing as a metaphor for, like, you really need to integrate this show for many reasons. Yeah. One of them, probably a lower reason, but also important, is your show kind of sucks. Like. Yeah.
Yes. I wish every day was Negro Day is the best line of the show.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, yeah, because they're having fun.
Yeah.
And like
And it's like, why did you let them sing the same song? They wrote it. Like, like you colonized our song. Yeah. Let them sing it.
And I don't think, because the show came out when I was like in middle and high school. And it's one of those shows that existed like before I had a lot of knowledge of theater, so I always have also imagined it being a much older show than just like the early 2000s, because like it took up so much of that space in the early 2000s that it was like this behemoth of a show that it didn't compute to me that it was new.
Yeah.
In like the way that like Les Mis and Cats and Phantom were all very old, but Hairspray was in that pantheon.
Hairspray was immediately a classic, like
immediately
from the word jump.
Do you want to guess how many performances it ran for?
I actually don't know. I would say it ran for, let's say it ran for 7 years. So I would say it ran for maybe 2,500 performances.
Alex?
I'm going to say 2,700.
It ran for 7 years, and it ran for 2,642 performances.
All right, I got underneath. Ba-boom!
That
was just mental math. Suck on that, Alex! You bodily stoic!
It's going to be your favorite term forever. Yeah. Yeah, so it ran both longer and shorter than I imagined it would have, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, because part of me is also like, it probably ran for 5 years, or it ran for 20. You can't be sure.
You can't stop the beat, nor can you track it through time.
Yeah. Also, a London revival was put on hold for the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And listening through, and we watched this over the summer, I think?
Yeah.
For a movie episode of Broadway's Day.
Yeah, because we've seen it recently.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you want to watch it? I was like, we just watched it.
Yeah, you know. But it probably was like over the summer or in the spring. I don't remember.
I don't know. Time has no meaning during quarantine.
It's still March. I don't know. it's March 15th for a year. But somehow, like in my mind, thinking of Hairspray as the 15-year-old who knew it, I forgot exactly how, like, I don't know. Like, I forgot how political it was, or just like how much about integration, like that is actually the point of the show, because it is not really in any of the marketing.
No,
it's just Tracy's face.
Yeah,
she's so adorable.
And then you go back and you're like, oh no, this was like an important show, and like is different, and like I forget about that until I listen to it again.
It says a lot of important things, like about, you know, integration and about the other. It even does a shout out to the fact that cops tend to lie around racially charged incidents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's like here in the head with a crowbar, and it's like that's a lie. And I'm like, yes, that's what happens every time. They blow it out of proportion to blame people who are oppressed. Like,
yeah,
it's a pretty woke show. And I mean that as a big compliment.
And listening and watching back to it now, I was just like, oh, absolutely. It could be revived now and still be just as...
It's a shame how prescient it still is.
Yeah, it's really kind of upsetting how it still touches on issues we are dealing with.
And I think it's actually a far more effective... Like, because we've seen some real woke shows in the past, like, year. Mm-hmm. Take a little pill. but that's all they bring to the table.
And they know... It about they're like, you know, we know.
And Hairspray just has, you know, the adorable little Tracy Turnblad just being like, this is wrong. We all go, you're right, Tracy. Cool, sing that song. We're with you. Yeah. Like it doesn't just sit in it. It kind of folds it all in. And so I think it's actually doing more good than other things.
Yeah. It never stops being about the story and the characters, and it has that human pulse to it. It's about these big issues, but through the lens of these, like, it's really interesting to me to watch some of the white characters who are like, I'm with you, but it will ruin my career to show those stakes.
Yeah.
That, like, Link Larkin kind of chickens out and then comes around and, you know, the mom pulling the strings behind to keep black people off the show, and Edna being like, Tracy, yes, I would love if you marched, but I also don't want you to get hurt.
Like, even if Tracy was, like, the quote-unquote perfect body type, I still don't think she would fit in on the show.
Yeah.
Because she's just kind of weird and kind of quirky. And I just appreciate, like, because the thing is, like, when you watch, like, the original Hairspray movie, like, when you're adapting it, like, I just feel like there could have been a lot of leaning on the fat jokes. And it's just, and they don't really do that much. It's, they don't shy away from it, but like for this weird kind of just showy musical, like they actually like flesh out the characters like just enough.
Yeah. And her, like what separates her, it comes down to when she gets in trouble for, and a great joke, inappropriate hair height. It's that she's so effusive and everyone's like, this is, it's the 60s, but it's the 50s haven't quite ended yet, and everyone just hates that she has visible emotions.
Oh, yeah. It's the early 60s. It's like 62, right?
They specifically mentioned that the Kennedys are still in power.
Oh, yeah. So, like, 61, 62. Yeah.
Those are my little loves. I don't have,
My little love is Marissa Jarrett Winoker, who played Tracy Turnblad. And was also one of the best friends in one of my favorite movies, Fever Pitch.
Oh.
However, it is something I learned about her recently, which happened during Hairspray. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer during auditions.
Ooh.
And did not tell anyone. And then during rehearsals, I believe, had a hysterectomy to remove all of the cancer. And then just went back on in the show and won a Tony. And so she is my whole little love for the whole show.
That's really inspiring, actually.
Yeah, she was like, I will never have a chance to play a role, a lead role that was made for me like this.
No.
Because of Broadway and, you know, most leads are stick figures.
Mm-hmm.
And especially a dance show. And she was like, this is my show. I am not going to give this up for anything. And she didn't tell anyone she had cancer. She booked the job. She took care of it and survived cancer and won a Tony all in 1 year and like changed her life, which is insane. So she's my love.
Okay. I think Good Morning Baltimore it's the best song in the show. I feel, and it also, I guess it's just because it's so earnest, but when I was just kind of listening to the soundtrack a little before we decided to do it as an episode. I just put that song on and I was like really, like really crying. Like I was not okay. And I don't know, something about that song just brought it out of me to the point where I thought, okay, I'm going to listen to this song a bunch so I can just kind of anesthetize, like inoculate myself a little bit so I can feasibly talk about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's got that power over me.
Huh. I don't have that with that song at all.
Yeah. I think
it's a good song. It's just not, I just want to do the ponies.
Yeah. I think it's because it's like, the message is like, no one understands me, but I don't care. And it's just like, it's very, very endearing. And she's so, whoever plays that role is always so kind of sweet that it just really strikes that note very, very hard for me. I love the na 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 in The Nicest Kids in Town.
Yep.
That whole song is great, but that's my favorite part, is when they kind of start working in other kind of 50s-esque musical tropes into the song to show that this is, it's almost like a world-building song a little bit of this is kind of music that you're going to hear that is a little, that is still good, but it's still a little too stuffy, and that's a problem. Yeah.
It's like, this is the thing that all of our characters are obsessed about.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It kind of sets that standard. I Know Where I've Been, I think, is a great song. It's so good. Queen Latifah nails it. I didn't know
that sequence in the movie is so good.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that it's, so I listened to the Broadway album just on its own, so I didn't know anything about the story. So a lot of these songs I heard out of context. Yeah, and then when I saw the movie, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Is it a slightly different context, or it happens at a different time?
I don't know.
In the movie, some of the songs are in a different order in the movie.
Yeah, there's some songs are not in there at all. There's no big dollhouse. But so, like, yeah, so having it be during that protest is just perfect. It's great. And then You Can't Stop the Beat. The show opens and closes so strongly.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's that same note that gets me in Good Morning Baltimore. It's like, hey, I'm not stopping for you, even if you look at me weird. Yeah. I don't care.
I love a closing number that is both a call to action for the characters, but also like has a little thesis statement in for the audience, or it's just like, hey, here's what you get to take home. Like, be you. We like you. All right, get out there. We're going to dance for a little bit. You feel good. Okay, great.
Yeah. And then the audience is just like, oh, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to clap for you. And it's all
right.
Great time. And all the actors are like, we're tired and want to go home.
Yeah, this this man in a dress who kind of talks like gay Darth Vader is going to come out and say he's awesome.
Gay Darth Vader.
Yeah, that is kind of what he sounds like.
Kind of, yeah.
No, Luke, I'm your father.
Luke.
Maybe the passages, I want them alive.
My other little love is just in Good Morning Baltimore, the way it's set that the bed is standing up.
Yeah.
And then she's just like in the bed. I love just like that opening number is so fun.
It's so simple.
Yep. And she gets out of the bed and her like hair, her hair cream like stays. Is that a thing?
Yeah. I would argue.
I think I just mixed that up with a Parent Trap sequence in my head.
I would argue that this is probably, this show, just from all the way that it's like so easy and simple to like do this show properly, it's been done so many times regionally, I would guarantee that this is Harvey Fierstein's like biggest moneymaker. Hairspray?
He didn't write it.
Oh, that's, sorry.
He was just in it.
I got confused. Yeah. We've been talking about his writing career.
We were.
In the beginning, and so I just assumed that he wrote this as well. My bad.
No. Let me pull up the exact writers. It's Mark Shaman.
All right, edit this out. Yeah. I don't want to look like an idiot in front of all these people. Come on.
Okay.
Even though you confused me. I believe you, Kimberly.
I'm over here
just, yeah, it's all your fault. And I'm just going to be feign anger at you so you can figure out the correct information. Look at us filling the space.
Okay, well, the
yes.
Music and lyrics are Mark Shaman and Scott Whitman, and the book is Mark O'Donnell and Thomas Meehan.
Okay.
Based on John Waters, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they just cast Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah, I don't know. We just were talking about his writing. I even knew that. We were looking at the list, and I'm just...
To be fair, if someone without us knowing said, hey, $100 bet, Harvey Fierstein wrote Newsies or Hairspray, you would lose that bet 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 people on the street are losing that bet.
Yeah.
All right. I think those are our little loves.
Those are our little loves. Is there a review, Vivu?
There is. Also, Harold, out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, get out of here, dude. We're going to put you in that big can of hairspray and just get out of here.
Oh. In my head, I was just like, that sounds like it would hurt and be loud.
Yeah, it's he's not real. None of it's real.
I like to think it's padded in there, so he's just sort of comfortable. But he's bewildered. Don't believe you me.
He's bewildered.
But he's not being physically harmed.
His body is not stoic.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a review. This is from Elleral. It says, so much to love. 5 stars. Please leave Broadway Baby 5 stars and a nice review on the podcast app. It really helps the numbers. We really appreciate it. It says, great hosts, fun little gimmicks. Little Loves is such a cute concept. Good commentary. Exactly what I needed to get my theater full during quarantine when no theater is actually happening. We're doing the Lord's work here at Broadway Baby. This.
Yeah.
The theater.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of a little bit of theater for your quarantine, sing out, Louise.
Boom, 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 boom. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Uh-oh, logged on today, feeling the way I always do. Uh-oh, like an explosion of notes on a sheet when I send a tweet, that rhythm of song was in me all along. How did I ever think this was dumb? Moving my feet to the rattling sound of a drum. Good morning, musicals. Belt a note that'll shake the walls. Every show is a fantasy. From Aladdin to Company. Good morning, musicals. And someday when I get on the boards, the web's gonna wake up and see. Musicals and me. I know every step, I know every song, cause I found the place where I belong. I know I can't sing, but I'm ready today, so somebody cast me before I go gray. So give me a chance, cause when I start to dance, I'm a Fosse muse. I've got a new pair of dancing shoes and nothing to lose. My mind told me no, but my heart told me yo. Take off the cynical, sad disguise. Don't make me wait one more moment for my star to rise. Get them to like and subscribe. I love you, musicals. There's the fansies who deck the halls and the fansons who live next door, wave their cast when we hit record. And I promise musicals that someday when I take to the boards, the web's gonna wake up and see. Gonna wake up and see musicals and me, a Broadway baby bound for fame. Musicals and me, someday the world will know his name. Musicals and me.
Yay.
Now do it sad.
I thought you'd never ask.
Hey there, teenage Baltimore. Don't change that channel, because it's time for the Corny Collins Show. Brought to you by Ultra Clutch Hairspray. Strikes four. A crazy bunch of kids crash through that door, yeah. Oh, they throw off their coats and leave the squares behind them. And they shake it, shake it, shake it like they're losing their mind. I'm gonna see them frown, cause they're the nicest kids in town. TV on. Yeah, we know you turn the sound up when
Link.